are now listening to WBPPR, Big Pretty Public Radio. The following program has been brought to you by Split Rail Fences. Because nothing keeps horses from escaping like two horizontal boards. And the Censor Beep, letting you know just how bad the word starts since 1961. And drugs, undefeated since forever. And now, an evening with the authors. Hello and welcome, loyal listeners. This is your host, Dana Glass. I am in the WBPPR studios, and I have two guests with me this evening, two writers from different avenues, from different backgrounds, from different walks of life, different genders or sexes. I do confuse those two terms, although I have been told that there is no longer gender or that there are more than there used to be, and I am slowly digging myself into a hole. The look from my producer Bernadette is one I know all too well, telling me to move on and introduce my guests. To my right, I have an author of a book about plagiarism, Mr. Kevin Radowski. Hello, Kevin.
Hello, Dana. It's a pleasure to be here on your show. This is a fantastic venue you have here. It's nice. It's gray. It's just a standard setup, and I truly respect that.
You know, this actually, many do confuse it for gray, but it is actually called Faint Steel.
Oh, wow. I didn't know they still made Faint Steel. It's good to see. It's a beautiful coat.
A little risque for public radio, but we put up a good fight for it, and here we are with it. And my other guest to my left, Miss Sheila Irwin. Hello.
Good day, Dana. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, thank you so much for being here. I understand that it is a very difficult time in your homeland of Australia, but we will just assume by the time this is posted that everything is better than it was before.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know what they say. One man's crock is another man's trash.
That sounds like something people would say. It certainly does. Now, the two of you have both written books, but they are quite different. Kevin, could you please explain to me, you have a passion, unlike many, for a subject that some would call passionless, and that is plagiarism. How did you get introduced into the world of protected writing?
Well, I've always been, even since a child, cared about plagiarism.
Mm-hmm.
There's many reasons why that could have happened. One is that my mother took me to a Milli Vanilli concert when I was young. My dad said that they were taking the lyrics and just reciting them and doing lip sync. My mom said otherwise. Then it came out that they did lip sync, which led to a big fight with my parents and the reason they got divorced. That could be one of the reasons. Another reason why I may hate plagiarism is my father, a passionate writer of his own regard, he made the book Larry Cotter, The Boy Wizard. And well, you know, that was before J.K. Rowling's took it and made Harry Potter.
Stolen from your father.
Basically stolen from from my father, which led to his own suicide. And honestly, I don't know if that's the reason why. It could also be that I'm just a passionate for original works of art not being copied.
I see. I imagine CNC Music Factory also being another moment of contention in your young life.
Yes, that is true. But, you know, I've gotten myself to where I am today. A prolific anti-plagiarizer. Mm-hmm. I'm glad to have that on air and said in audio.
Mm-hmm.
And with my Basic Rules of Plagiarism book that I've written. A lot of student councils are saying they are using that to make sure they can expel students out of college.
Now, let me ask you something that I think might be quite controversial in your world, and that is parody law. Well, the act of pretending to be something else or being like something else, almost exactly, but slightly altering the facts to make it an original, an homage to the other piece, but something new.
You may know the 1947 case of Little Timmy versus the state of Tennessee.
I am not aware of this.
Little Timmy, there was a boy, his name was Little Timmy. The governor was giving a speech, and after every time the government, I don't mean to make a mistake there.
We could edit that, okay, unless you think please. That would be against.
No, that's truth. It's still and my word being edited, as I long see. As you're not saying my word. But I'm off topic. I'm going a little bit off topic.
Okay.
Little Timmy, the governor was giving a speech, and after every sentence, Little Timmy said the sentence in kind of a silly, like, the governor would go, "We need to work on education," and Little Timmy would say, "We need to work on education." Then the governor took him to court. It went to the state legislature, judicial court, and, that's when parody law was created. It was because of that situation. So Little Timmy, I think he should have got the chair myself.
If I could chime in here, I think I side with Little Timmy. He sounds like a good guy.
Well, he certainly seemed to have some sort of sense of humor, a rambunctious young man who perhaps trying to entertain an ailing family member. I'm just going off here. I don't know if this is the truth or not.
I'm understanding Little Timmy's words that he said were not his words. They were the governor's words. So,
how do you feel about karaoke?
Well, you know, as the Milli Vanilli fiasco showed, not highly.
Now, I don't know why I'm being so combative here, and I do apologize, but
after I compliment you on the near steel.
Painted steel.
Oh, at this point, doesn't matter, because you've really disappointed one of your guests.
Well, I would think that the
not
words, the words that I spoke seem to be very important to you, so maybe we'll play this back afterwards and settle all debate. Say I were to take the words you've said, sample them, put them onto a keyboard, play them in different order, creating new sentences from the words you have already said.
You would have to do that at a minimum of 2 octaves off the pitch of my voice.
Okay.
If you can tell by my voice, I would just suggest doing higher.
Doing higher. I'm assuming not a fan of Mr. Weird Al Yankovic, Kevin Radowski. I'd like to move over now to my other guest, Sheila Irwin. Now, you seem to be a much more, I'll go with fun person than my other guest.
I mean, I'd like to think so. Seems like kind of a downer, that one.
Well, he takes himself seriously, and that's not something I can really come down on somebody for. But I think maybe our listeners, although I'm sure they would be engrossed by copyright laws, plagiarism, libel, and the like, I thought we could talk about your book. Now, you come from a family, perhaps not as well known as the Cherry Cotter author sitting to my right here.
It's Larry Cotter, my father.
Larry Cotter.
My father, Devin Radowski.
Devin Radowski, of course. But your family, also well known.
Yes, it's true. It turns out that my brother Steve is actually quite popular here in the States, which I have to say, it's a little weird, okay, because that's actually not the case back home. He's not popular at all. He wasn't popular at all. Excuse me, what a mistake to make on air.
Well, we could edit that out, but then we'd be...
No, just leave it. Who cares?
I care a little bit, but honestly, at this point, I am just happy to get my book out there so people can understand. So I'm sorry for my outburst earlier. Continue.
No worries. We love books.
Yes, we love books indeed. That is why we are here at An Evening with the Authors. Now, Sheila, you say your brother not popular in Australia. I think this would come as a shock to many of our American listeners.
Yeah, no, it's just everyone in Australia has a croc or two. It's not unusual. What really is unusual is to not have crocodiles, but instead to be interested in my life's passion, which is crocodiles.
Crocodiles. That does bring us now to your book. And can you tell the listeners, what is the title of this book?
Oh, of course. It's Sheila Irwin, Crocodile Hunter.
Crocodile Hunter. Mm-hmm. And a crocodile is?
A crocodile is a rock that I like.
I see. A rock in which you have an affinity for.
Yes, and it has to be in the book.
And in the book.
Mm-hmm.
Now, are these types of rocks or are these individual rocks?
Oh, no, it's more like a type, but then also if I find one and if I name it, then it can be a crocodile. I brought some with me.
Okay.
I thought, you know, what better place to showcase my crocodiles than on a podcast?
Absolutely. I will do my best to support you in explanation and painting a visual picture for our listeners of these crocodiles.
When you paint that visual picture, can you make sure that the picture is not the picture that she is also painting?
I'm not painting a picture. I really did bring them.
And I will just be using words to create the illusion and allow the listener to paint their own picture and their own mind.
Okay. Well, I'm looking here in the Act, the Copyright Act of 1987.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that checks out.
Okay. Let's see these crocodiles.
Okay. Well, here's the first one. Okay, so this one is a dolomite rock, and I've actually named this one Dolly. Okay, so you can probably tell her coloring is a bit off right now.
Okay.
Because it's like a gray, but not like a normal gray. It's more like a weird gray.
Like a fainted gray?
Yeah, that's actually, you know what? I like that. And yeah. I think Dolly likes that too. You can already tell her coloring is getting a little bit better. She was agitated before, but now I think she's really warmed up to you.
Yeah, and I would assume, you know, to my untrained eye, it appears to just be a rock that I would describe as being rock-collared.
Yes, but again, untrained eye.
Exactly. So. I am no expert in rocks. I would never venture to say so.
You people are.
Now, as I picture you growing up with your brother, who we now know not well known or respected where you come from.
Not at all.
And there's crocodiles all over the place, just run of the mill. I'm getting a very Southern Florida vibe about Australia. I've never been, so I'm going to go with this and just assume I'm correct.
It is absolutely the Florida of the whole world.
Yeah. Okay. And then, so rocks, are we finding rocks in our driveway, or are we having to go down into whatever Australia's equivalent of the bayou to find these crocodiles?
You know, you can find them in the outback.
Okay.
If you're feeling adventurous. But you know, adventure isn't for everyone, and maybe there is a crocodile in your backyard. Maybe there's one in your rock collection at home in your little brother's room. You don't know. You just have to search for it. And then when you find it, send me a picture and then I will tell you if it is a crocodile.
I see. So our listeners could be rummaging through their siblings' belongings.
Mm-hmm.
They could be taking pictures with perhaps their sibling's cell phone.
Absolutely.
Sending them to you and getting verification if they do or do. If it would essentially come down to whether or not you like the rock in the picture, correct?
That is absolutely correct. You've really gotten the essence of the book.
Wow. I did read a few marked pages. Our intern Marley did highlight some pages, and I went through and I really liked the parts where it was pictures of the rocks.
Yes,
I found that
so important.
The easiest to digest in a... I spend about 7 to 7.5 minutes before each recording here, leafing through drinking my coffee while Bernadette gives me instructions and Marley also tries to inform me tiny tidbits, and then it always seems Gustavo is vacuuming during the same time. I basically come in with very little knowledge, and I do my best.
Well, you're doing great.
Wonderful. Now, when I was growing up, I did not have a rock collection. And now I'm starting to feel like that could have made up for the lack of friends or siblings that I had.
Oh, absolutely. Having rocks around definitely made up for my lack of friends. Also, basically for my lack of family as well, because as you know, my brother, Steve, mm-hmm. not respected by anyone, sure. even his own family.
Yeah, even in his death, it appears. Mm-hmm. Yeah, still.
Pretty much.
Firmly not respected by anyone at all. Wow. I'm learning a lot.
I don't want to cut in here too much. I just want to make sure. Now, it's Sheila, correct?
Yes.
Is it true that no two rocks are alike?
That they are just like snowflakes. You are so correct.
Okay. Well, to me, I love that. I don't mean to get too excited, but I love that.
See, and I don't mean to cause a kerfuffle here either, but many of our listeners find the word snowflake to be triggering. It is something that's been used against our base mm-hmm. quite often. And, well, we're going to be getting some letters about that one, but it's fine. We do support free speech as long as it is carefully vetted and does not offend anyone.
Yes, let's just say lost in translation. Okay.
Free speech, thanks to viewers like you.
I don't get it.
That's a joke coming from you, Kevin Radowski. A joke.
How NPR always has this as, oh, wait, I'm repeating what NPR says in the joke.
Yeah.
I need to.
And that we also, NPR, WBPBR, there is a, that may cause us some problems too.
Okay. Sorry. Continue.
Words have power. And I think that's something that I can somehow force everything we've said into that message, whether it be in plagiarism or about, I don't know, rocks, then yeah, words having power. I think I saved that one, but Bernadette disagrees. Okay. So moving on. Rockadiles.
Mm-hmm.
Now, say... Here's some. I've just come up with a clever way to bring you two in together here. Say you have a brother who is famous for hunting crocodiles, which mm-hmm. we all now know is not a big deal.
Not at all.
And then a sister who, while I'm assuming more popular than your brother in Australia.
No, actually. Oh. Also, no. Yeah.
The whole family obscurity.
Pretty much nobody knows us in Australia.
Oh.
But in the US, mm-hmm. Steve is very popular. That's actually how I got my book published. I kind of marketed it as a posthumous work by an Irwin, and they didn't ask any questions. So here we are.
I see. And I guess I'm understanding that by removing this C from the beginning of crocodile and adding a K after the second C, dropping the dial completely, makes your work the rockadile complete. No, the dial is in there. I'm lost. Kevin, how does this work out legally? How can she call herself the Rockadile Hunter?
There was the case in 2003 between Tampa Bay Devil Ray baseball player Evan Longoria and famous actress Eva Longoria. And they were able to both be on Hollywood Squares, and it was okay. So this actually checks out with crocodiles and rockadiles.
Okay, so it's sort of a Adam Goldberg, Adam F. Goldberg situation here, or a Emilio Estevez changing his name. That's actually the opposite now, though, isn't
that's,
it?
He was
a Sheen.
He's making an effort to be different.
I don't think I understand copyright laws or plagiarism.
No one does.
That's true.
I don't.
No one.
I feel like I'd hate to jump in here, but that is all I do.
Right.
Well, okay.
Yes, childhood of solitude and the divorced parents. And I actually...
My parents never remarried because it wouldn't be right.
Yeah, my parents did remarry after the divorce, and each one successfully worse than the one before, and no rocks to keep me company, but that's fine. I funneled all of my energy into something positive. And
what is that?
Public radio podcasting about other people's work.
That's great. Good for you.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, saying it out loud, I actually was starting to doubt it a little bit. It's not like I, you know, dove into not the practice of law, but the study of law. Maybe you could show another crocodile.
Yeah. Okay. So this next one, this is a Hutchinsonite rock. Mm-hmm. It's named after the person who discovered it, which was John Hutchinson, or me when I was 12, but nobody seemed to note that. Anyway, it doesn't look like much, but it is actually one of the most toxic rocks out there. It is extremely dangerous, extremely poisonous.
You're just handling it with bare hands.
Yes, well, I've built up an immunity at this point. Okay. But anyone else that does not have that experience with these rocks should stay away. Like enclosed spaces, bad idea.
Oh, yeah, Kevin, I did see you and intern Marley looking quite closely at the crocodiles. Are you sure which crocodiles you might have been looking at?
I don't know. Honestly, I'm feeling a little bit of an itch in my throat. Is that a thing?
No, it's actually just sudden death.
Maybe you should go take a look at yourself in the bathroom. You're looking a little pale to me.
Oh, all right. Is the bathroom just a
left? Yeah, it's definitely outside of this room.
Okay, I'm just gonna... All right, I will... Okay.
Yeah, that's it. That just be... I'm sorry to say this, but I don't know if I've ever been able to say this out loud before, but that man's a nerd.
Yeah, he would not be popular in Australia.
I mean, I know...
Like, less than me.
Yeah, and I myself, not a popular man... Boy, child, I assume I will not be popular when I'm old, if I'm so lucky to get there. Keep my hands off the crocodiles. But this guy, I've never hated anyone aside from myself before. I think I hate him.
Well, you know, they say when you hate someone, let them go free.
Yeah, well, I wish him all the freedom in the world. Maybe we could just rub that crocodile. Oh no, he's back. Okay,
hello.
I was looking more pale than usual. I would say maybe just a hint more pale.
Mm-hmm.
Luckily, I had some wet naps that I just carry around just in case my hands get dirty.
That is not surprising.
And I dabbed my head.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I really saw some color come. Can you see the color in my head?
The color is back. Okay. And
well, then another
classic riveting tale from Kevin Radowski. I realize we are on a time crunch here to fit everything in, but I've got to see more of these crocodiles.
Of course. Okay. So I did bring one more, and this one is really special. Okay. So this one, his name is Anderson Cooper.
Okay.
Because he is an andesite rock. Okay. Yep. Okay. And he is actually...
Wow.
Kevin, did you have something to say about Anderson Cooper?
Sorry. That was a laugh.
Oh.
My laughs, I don't do a lot. I usually just do a couple so you know that I laughed, and then I can get back to my notes.
Okay,
scribbling away there furiously, Kevin. I'm sure good stuff you've got. Okay, so back to Anderson Cooper.
Yes, okay. So he is from a volcano on the North Island of New Zealand. Mm-hmm. And andesite rock is just, it's rock that it was magma and then it kind of cooled and solidified over time, just like CNN's Anderson Cooper.
Oh,
okay.
I see.
Yes. Yes. And if you look at his markings here, you can see this was one from one hot volcano, right? Again, just like Anderson Cooper. So anyway, he is actually, you probably can't tell, he is very much in heat right now, so we should probably stay away from him. You don't want to get mixed up in that.
Yeah, that, don't want it just getting it right inside of me.
Classic Andesite Rock.
I have to say, I have enjoyed my chat with you, Sheila.
Mate, too.
And Kevin, you've been here as well.
Yes.
And
thank you.
I think that our listeners are going to learn a lot about these rockadiles and about the things Kevin said. And I think that I want to thank you both for coming here.
Actually,
and what's that?
I'm sorry. I just was really inspired by Sheila's confidence and courage.
I think we all were.
Thank you.
And I know, I'll be honest, I understand that plagiarism is an exciting topic. It's not the funnest thing to ever hear.
Not like rocks.
Right.
No, of course. What you do is very exciting. I actually, if it's okay with you, Dana, I'd like to read a I've been writing a book.
Well, I wish we had more time for that, but it would seem that Bernadette says that we do have time for this, so this should be entertaining for us all.
Okay, then I, if that's okay with you, I will, I'll just read this book.
Sure.
Okay, it's untitled. It's a new thing, it's unfinished, but I've been working on it, and if that's okay with you, Sheila, and I know you have to get back to Australia.
No, it's fine with me. You know what they say, when you hear a new book and you don't like it, you kill the author.
Hope it's good, Kevin.
That's not been plagiarized from anything. Huh. Well, all right, here's my book. There sat a genderless man in the middle of Australia. As things burned around him. He had a famous sister, but he was better than that. Mm. He had a collection of sockadiles, which are socks that he liked. He had pictures of them and socks that he enjoyed. And he would collect these socks in different things and take pictures of them. He was a very popular man. And one of his famous socks, he used to belong to Eddie Murphy when he filmed the movie My Name is Dolomite. That was probably his prize sock that he had. And he understood that a lot of people, such as the character in the next chapter, were untrained in the skills of eyeing sockadiles. Enter South Florida, inside an Outback Steakhouse.
Oh, it's a script.
Well, it's part of the book to kind of set the setting. Sometimes you need to speak in second person to kind of bring the person into a book. I'm sorry, you don't understand that.
Oh, okay.
It's been seven and a half minutes. Dana sat there doing his best.
Dana.
He had no family, no friends. Snowflakes falling outside. Flakes of crystallized water outside. Dana had gone through relationships one after another, worse than the last, each one. He tried to remarry. It just got worse. The waitress brought Dana a covered tray. Inside, a sockadile worn by Anderson Cooper while he was holding a volcano gun. Dana acted quickly, throwing the tray on a burner, turning up the heat. Things got worse. And then Anderson Cooper said, "Call me Ishmael." And then, bam! Anderson Cooper fell dead. Not because of Dana. No. Because of the hero of the story. Tevin Radowski. And he said, "That's from Moby Dick. You just plagiarized that line."
Oh.
Chapter 3. Tevin Radowski's backstory. He grew up caring about plagiarism more than anybody. He wanted every plagiarist dead. Why? Well, when he was a child, him and his mom went to a Milli Vanilli concert. His dad said that Milli Vanilli lip-synced. Tevin and his mom knew differently. Guess what? Tevin's dad was right. They lip-synced. And then they had a big fight about it, and it's why Tevin Radowski's parents got divorced, which really sucked. Then later, Tevin's dad wrote a book called Larry Cotter, The Boy Wizard, which got plagiarized by J.K. Rowling, and she made Harry Potter. And that's why Tevin's dad, Bevan Radowski, died. He killed himself.
Oh.
So you, the reader, guess what? Tevin Radowski's been working on a story about his life that he'd like to read to you right now. There sat a genderless man with Australia burning around him.
Okay, Kevin, I'm going to have to interrupt you here. This story that you're reading, a bit amateurish, especially chapter 3, where you skip to the origin story. You looked off into the distance, recited without reading. I said to myself, I have to stop this. He cannot give this away for free. What you've done here is a true piece of art, and I rescind all insults I said about you when I sent you to the bathroom.
You said insults to me?
Yeah, like a lot.
Well, that's not so important. What's important is that I am not saying insults now when face-to-face with you.
Well...
And having said that, I would like to thank my guests, Sheila Irwin.
Thank
and
you.
Her Rockadiles. Uh-huh. And Kevin Radowski, a budding fiction writer and true person.
Thank you.
Thank you for spending an evening with the authors. Good night.